Today's shir is Masecht Nedarim, Daf Yud, and we will begin with the last words of Daf Tes Amud Beis, V'Vayisema. As we had learned in the previous shir, the Mishnah taught us different terminologies which are effective in making a neder and which are not. Mishnah said Kenidre Rishoyim is a valid terminology. Kenidre Ksherim is not. Kenidvais Ksherim, the Nedav of Ksherim, is. Clearly our Mishnah is distinguishing between the Nedarim of Ksherim and the Nedavais of Ksherim. And the Gemara asked, which Tana's opinion does our Mishnah represent? Because the Gemara quoted the Machloikis of Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda, where Ramea holds it's never proper to make Nedarim or Nedavis, and Rabbi Yehuda held that as long as one fulfills the Nedarim or Nedavis one makes, it is commendable. So if we follow the opinion of Ramea, even Nidvois Ksherim should not be effective. And if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, even Kenidre Ksherim should be effective. So the Gemara first said a teretz that our Mishnah can represent the opinion of Ramea. And Ramea distinguishes between the Nedarim and the Nedavis. The Nedarim Ramea holds one should not make. However, the Nedavis, as the Gemara explained in the previous shir, Ramea will agree are commendable, and therefore Kenidvais Ksherim is a acceptable terminology for Yadois Nedarim. Now our Gemara gives another teretz. V'Bayisema, another way of explaining our Mishnah, Zafil Tem Rabbi Yehuda. One can suggest that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Amar Rabbi Yehuda. However, when did Rabbi Yehuda say it's commendable to make a neder and keep it? He was only referring to Nedava. But neder lo Amar, he wasn't referring to Nedarim. And therefore, the terminology of our Mishnah is Kenidvais Ksherim, because even Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ksherim should make Nedavais, not Nedarim. So there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand this teretz of the Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara is now retreating from its explanation it gave in the previous year of Ramea's opinion. Whereas in the previous year we said Ramea agrees that there's a difference between Nedarim and Nedavis, our Gemara now is saying that Ramea will hold that both Nedarim and Nedavis should not be made. And Rabbi Yehuda only holds that Nedavis should be made. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is that the Gemara is actually saying that Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda aren't arguing. They both agree that Nedarim are not commendable, and they both agree that Nedavis are commendable. And therefore, they both really agree, and there's no machlokes, and the Mishnah can reflect the opinion of both of them. Says the Gemara of Oktani, we're learning now that Rabbi Yehuda only recommends Nedavos, not Nedarim. Oktani, when we explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda said, Toiv mizeh umizeh noider mekayim. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda does recommend even Nedarim. And says the Gemara, Tani, way we to read that price is Noidiv mekayim. Rabbi Yehuda was only recommending Nedavos, not Nedarim. Ask the Gemara. But before, ask the Gemara. Maishna noida deloy. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that we should avoid making the Dorim? Dama asabu l'day takola. Because we're concerned that one could come through the Aveira of Baal Ta'achar. Neder, as we said, means hare alai. One accepts upon himself a personal obligation to bring a carbon. And if he doesn't bring it in the proper time, he's over Baal Ta'achar. Nedavanami asked the Gemara, Dima Asabela de Tekala. There too, we should be concerned that one could come to, Machloikis here, some say could come to Baal Ta'achar even by a Nedava. And even if we say that a Nedava can come to Baal Ta'achar, we should be concerned that the person won't bring the carbon. He'll designate an animal as a carbon, won't bring it, and may use it and be over Me'ila. answers the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion. Dama adam mevi kivsasei l'azara. A person could bring his lamb to the azara, or magdisha. He should be magdished right as he brings it to the azara. V'samech alav b'shachta to smich and shecht it immediately. So there is no concern that the person will be over an avera, because he's only magdashit in the last moment, and right away he is makrovit with no concern that it be over bal ta'achar. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have actually have said that this Gemara, that this goes according to what Hillel taught us. We learned in the previous year that Hillel would follow a similar custom to bring the animal triazara, mimagdishit, and bimakrovit immediately. However, the Gemara preferred to quote something Rabbi Yehuda said in explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because it makes a lot of sense to use Rabbi Yehuda's custom to explain his opinion. Another point that the Rishonim make is that, as we learned in the previous year, the concern was that if one has this animal in his possession, he may come to Me'ila if it's Hegdash. However, the Rishonim ask, as we said, a carbon oila, as soon as the animal is designated as a carbon oila, it's a subject to Me'ila, because it's Kodesh HaKadoshim. But Rabbi Yehuda was referring to Kivsasoi, a lamb, a female. A female can never be a carbon oila. So it must be that this animal is being designated as a carbon shlamim. A carbon shlamim is not subject to Me'ila until after it's actually sacrificed. So why is Rabbi Yehuda concerned that I'm going to be magdishit and it'll be in my property and I may come to Me'ila? There's no Me'ila. It's a carbon shlamim. And there's no Me'ila with a carbon shlamim at this point. Answers the Rush that even if we'll say that there is no Me'ila on a carbon shlamim, it's kachim kalim, still the halach is one has to treat it with Kedusha, it's a carbon, and therefore one has to be careful that it shouldn't be used improperly. And to avoid that problem, Rabbi Yehuda was only magdashit right at the Azara, right before he was about to be makrovit. Another question that the Rishonim ask, that if our Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda says that a nedava should be brought in the last minute and not a neder, so according to the previous understanding, according to the previous year, we understood Rabbi Yehuda not to differentiate between a neder and a dova. And he said both were commendable. Clearly we see from this statement of Rabbi Yehuda that he does differentiate between a neder and a dova. So how could we even thought in the previous year that our Mishnah can't follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't differentiate between a neder and a dova? So Rishonim said actually the Gemara could have asked that question, but the Gemara knew that it's ultimately going to say that even Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between neder and nedava, and that's why the Gemara didn't bother with that question. Another way of answering that question, the Rishonim say, is that the Gemara could have said that this statement Rabbi Yehuda said that one should be magdish his animal, be menadiv his animal right a moment before he's makrovit, is only an etzah tov, it's good advice, but not that it's halachically required. And Rabbi Yehuda may agree that he can make a neder even before. And that's why the Gemara did not ask such a question. And again, as the Rishonim explained, we said it in the previous year, so if he's being magdashit in the last moment, why is there a difference between a neder and a nedava? Because by a nedava, he designated the specific animal. So even if something would be, if he was magdashed the animal, and then something happened to the animal, he doesn't have to replace it. By a neder, if something happened to the animal, or if the animal turns out to be a treifa, he has to replace it. And that's why even if he's being magdashed in the last moment, he should be magdashed with a nedava, not with a neder. Answers the Gemara. Tainach nedava de kabonis. So we're able to understand what makes the difference between the nedava of a kabonis versus a neder of a kabonis. However, nedava is naziris ma'ikol mema. Where do we find a concept of nedava by naziris? Answers the Gemara. Again, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda follows his own opinion. And again, the Mefarshim say the Gemara could have explained that Rabbi Yehuda follows the opinion that we learned in the previous shir of Shimon of Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon HaKoyin, but the Gemara wanted to quote Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion because it makes more sense to have Rabbi Yehuda following his own opinion. The earlier chassidim wanted to bring a karban chatas. They can never bring a karban chatas because the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes sure they don't do an aveiros. And as we learned, a karban oiler one could donate. A karban shlomim one can donate. However, a karban chatas one can only bring if he did an aveiro. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu prevents them from doing an aveiro, and therefore they can't bring a carbon chattis. So mahu yoisim, what would they do? Oyin the misnad in nazirus l'makom. They would make themselves into nazirus. Kadesh yischayiv a carbon chattis l'makom, because we know when nazir completes his nazirus, he has to bring three carbonas, a chattis, an oil, and a shlomim. Like that, he brought a carbon chattis. So the Rishonim spend a lot of time in explaining this Gemara. One point that they make is that they, a chattis, the Nazirim want to be Mekayim every mitzvah. As we explained, a Karban Chatas, they don't have the opportunity to be Mekayim unless they make themselves into Nazirim. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim explain is that the Tzaddik recognizes that he's really not that perfect, and that the only reason he never did the Avera is because he has Siyata Deshmaya. So that means really he would be chayiv a karban chatas. It's the special protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him that prevents him from doing an aveira. But that's why, since he recognizes that really he should bring a karban chatas, that's why they wanted to bring a karban chatas. The Farshim also ask that we know that the Taisa says in many places throughout Shas, when the Gemara says Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takolo but tzadikim, it refers to Macholos Asuras, Tosfa says. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim should not eat non-kosher food. But it's strictly limited to those kind of averis, not to any other averis. So what's the Gemara saying that tzaddikim don't do any averis? So I saw a number of terutzim to that question. One terutz the Chidah gives is that in earlier generations, which Tosfos throughout Shas is not referring to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected tzaddikim from doing any aveiro. And that's the time that Al Gemara is referring to. In later generations, Tosfos says HaKadosh Baruch Hu only protected them from Acholos Asuras. Another teretz that the Shaila Meishu gives is that there's a difference between a tzaddik and a chosid. Tzaddikim are only protected from Macholos Asuris. Our Gemara is referring to Chasidim. Chasidim are people who are on a higher level, and those people were even protected from all of theirs. Another teretz is that the Tzaddikim themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them from doing any Averis. When it comes that they shouldn't be the cause for other people doing Averis, there is a difference between Macholos Asuras, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim should not be the vehicle through which others eat Macholos Asuras, versus other Averis where a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't protect them. But Rav Moshe I saw says another teretz. Rav Moshe says that we know that there are two levels. There's one level called the Oinus and one level called a shagig. An oinus is much less of an aveira than a shagig. Shagig, which is somewhat of an aveira, what's the proof that shagig is somewhat an aveira? Because the halacha is if somebody does an aveira with shagig, he needs a kapara, he needs to bring a carbon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them from doing any aveira. And that's what Al Gemara is referring to. Oinus, which is really not an aveira, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu only protects them from Machalos Asuras, not from other Averis, and that's what Tosfos refers to throughout Shas. But now there's another question. What about a Karban Asham? Al Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them from not doing Averis. So how did the people have the opportunity to ever bring a Karban Asham? So I saw three terutzim to that kasha also. One terutz says there's a Machalokas throughout Shas between Rebbe Lezer and Chachamim. If a person could donate on his own a carbon ashram tali, Rabbi Elazar says a person is concerned that he maybe did an aveira, and he could bring a carbon ashim toli, maybe adam carbon ashim toli b'chol yoyim, every day. So even the tzaddikim can have an opportunity to bring a carbon ashim toli. Another teretz that a Kodesh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim from doing an avade aveira, something which is certainly an aveira, but from a safik aveira, from something which is only a safik, for which a carbon ashim toli is brought. For that, tzaddikim don't have a protection, and that's why they can bring a carbon ashim toli. A third teretz, which the Chasam Sofer says, is that indeed tzaddikim never have the opportunity to bring a carbon ashim. A carbon chatos, the Gemara gave us a way how they could bring by accepting on themselves to being a nazir. A carbon ashim they taka never bring. Where is this relevant? La'alocha l'maisa. The Paiskim say that every day the people who say kabbonis, after they bring, say, the parasha oila, they could say yirotzen kilu crafty oila, because an oila, as we said, can be brought b'nedava. Yirotzen kilu crafty shlomim, but one cannot say yirotzen kilu crafty chatos, because you only bring a chatos if you know you did the naveira, and therefore when one says the parasha's chatos, he should not say yirotzen kilu crafty chatos. Now the question is, when one says the parasha's oshom, can he say yirotzen kilu crafty oshom? If we'll say that a person could bring a carbon ashram every day, like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, one could say Yirotzen Kilu Crafty Ashram. But if we'll say that carbon ashram is also only brought when one is certain that he did the Aveira, then he cannot say Yirotzen Kilu Crafty Ashram. Rav Shimon Oimer, Loi Nodra Ben Nazar. They never really made themselves into a Nazar. Allah writes a lovely oil. If somebody wants to bring an oil, as we said, Misnadim and Mavi, he could donate a carbon oil. Shlom, if somebody wants to bring a carbon shlom, Dalokas Misnadim and Mavi, he could donate a carbon shlom. Toida, a carbon toida for Abba Minalachman. We know what a carbon toida. There were four types of bread, 10 loaves of each one of them brought along, 40 breads, Misnadim and Mavi. Ab, Naziris, Lay Snadvu, Naziris, they want should not donate, Kadesh Layikaru Chaitim, in order they should not be called people who do an aveira. Shnemba v'chipa alav me'ashachota ala nefesh. The Torah calls someone who is a nazir me'ashachota ala nefesh that he did an aveira. And as Mepharshim say, even though this pasuk is talking about a nazir who became tamei, from the extra words al hanefesh, we learn that they're considered, even a regular nazir is considered an aveira, bal aveira. Amar Abaye, Shimon HaTzadik, who we quoted in the previous year, Reb Shimon that we just learned, Reb Elazar Kfar, Kula Shita Akasein, they all have the same opinion, the Nazar Chayta Hava, that the Nazar is considered a Baal Aveira. And as the Ran explains, it's not that these three opinions are actually identical, because Shimon HaTzadik that we discussed in the previous year was referring to a Nazir who became Tomei. And Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar Kfar are referring to Nazirim who are not every Nazir they consider Chayta, but they all agree that in the Zeris there is some element of an Aveira. Also the Shema Tzion Balacha says that wherever the Gemara uses this terminology of Kulin Shita Achasein, they all have the same approach. It means to say we don't follow that approach to Halacha. Shimon HaTzadik, Rav Shimon, the opinion of Shimon HaTzadik and Rav Shimon, Hadamar, we've learned. Rav Elazar Kfar Barebi, where do we find the opinion of Rav Elazar Kfar Barebi? The Tanya. Rav Elazar Kfar Barebi Oimer, the Chippa Meshachot Al HaNefesh, the Nazir has to have a Kapara. So the question is, Reza Nefesh Chotazah, what was his sin? Elashatzir Atzmi Menayayin, he refrained from wine, and that caused him Tsar, and that he requires a Kapara for. Says the Gemara, Veloid Varam Kav Choymer. The Nazir only abstained from wine. Nikrachaita, the Torah calls him a balaveira. Hametzar atzmi mikol davar. Somebody who refrains from eating everything, alach kam v'kama, is certainly considered a balaveira. Kol mikan kol ayoshev b'tainis. Somebody who sits in a fast, nikrachaita, is considered a balaveira. So, the Magen Avraham, however, says that our Gemara is only referring to a situation where the person refrained from eating. He wanted a fast. But if a person took on a tainus because he did an aveira, and that's the way he has tshuva, that's not called a chayta. However, the Magen Avraham goes on to say that is only referring to an individual who is able to fast. But if his fasting will interrupt his learning, his davening, one should not fast. And the Mishnah Brura quotes the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Brura says that if somebody is concerned about his Averis, but as we just learned, he shouldn't fast because it disturbs, it interrupts his learning and davening, what he should do, Mishnah Brura says two different pieces of advice. One is that while he's in the middle of a meal, he should stop. Somebody has a delicious portion of food and he only eats part of it. That he's not fasting, but that's a tremendous madrega. Or he says he should accept upon himself a tiny stibur, not to speak dvarim b'talim, and like that he'll have a kapara. Ramesha, based on this Gemara, discusses we may one go on a diet. Being on a diet is a tsar. He's holding himself back from eating. So Ramesha says certainly if somebody is on a diet because of health reasons, v'shmatim l'nafshe seichem, and one certainly should accept a diet under those circumstances. But he says, what's the halacha if one is taking a diet just to look better? Is that permitted or not? So Rav Moshe says, if it's a starvation diet, that's aser. The Gemara is saying that one should not be mitzar himself. But let's say the person's just on a diet, they're not eating cake, they're not eating candies. So yes, it is a tsar that if you have cake and candies in front of you and you don't eat. But on the other hand, there's also a tsar if you don't look good, if you're overweight. So the tsar of not eating these cakes and cookies and candies, there's another, is overcome by the good feeling that you'll have by looking good. It's like we say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Says the Gemara, Vadein krob in Nazir Tamei Ksiv. This pasuk is talking about a Nazir Tamei. How do we extrapolate that it refers to all Nazirim? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Deshana Bechetu. He did the Averit twice. And the Mefarshim explained two ways of explaining this. A Nazir Chait is certainly considered a Nazir. A Nazir that became Tamei is certainly considered a Nazir because he did two Averis. Number one, that he became Tamei while he was a Nazir. And number two, that he accepted Naziris upon himself. Or is because he had to keep his Naziris twice. For as we have learned, a Nazir becomes Tamei, it cancels the previous Naziris, and he has to begin his Naziris again. Shana Bechet, he has to keep Naziris twice. The Chasam Sofer points out that Rashi Chumash says that the reason the parasha of Nazir and the parasha of Tzoyta are next to each other is because Haroya Tzoyta b'kalkula yazer atzmi minayayim. Somebody sees a Tzoyta, he should make himself to a Nazir. So we see that the Torah does recommend that he become a Nazir. Why is Agamar calling him a Tzoyta? Explains the Chasam Sofer. A Tzoyta and a Nazir represent people who act in extremes. A Tzoyta is a person who acted in the extremely wrong way. She was secluded with a man who she wasn't allowed to be secluded with. And a Nazir is a person who goes in the other extreme. He doesn't eat, even though he's allowed to eat grape products, he doesn't become Tamei, even when he's allowed to become Tamei. Teaches us the Torah. Extremes are not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants us to go in the Shvil Hazov, in the middle path, not in the extreme of a Soita, not in the extreme of a Nazir, just to live a normal middle of the road life. Says the Mishnah. As we learned in the first Mishnah, the kinu nedarim are also an effective way of making a neder. So says the Mishnah, oyim kainim kainach kainis, hare elu kinuim lekarbon. These are all kinuim nedarim. The Taz points out that on Yom Kippur by night, when we say kol nidre, we say kainame v'kainase v'kinuye. But if our Mishnah is teaching us that kainam and kainis are all examples of kinuyim, why we say kainam cannot say vikinuye? So he explains. Kainam is the typical, most usual terminology that's used for a neder. So first we say kainame. And then we make a kama. I don't know if it works with the tune of the chazanim. We say vikanase vikinuye. Kinuyim make in the dorim. And what is an example of another kinuy? Vikainase. Cherif, cherif, cherif. All these terminologies, hare elu kinuyim l'cherim. They're all kinuyim for cherim. And the Ram points out that in Golol, if somebody just uses the word cherim, we assume that it's cherim for bede kabayis, cherim e gavoya. In Yehuda, when somebody says the terminology of cherim, we assume that it means cherim kohanim. Nazik, pezeach, hare elu kenuim lezeris. These are all kenuim lezeris. Shvusa shikuka, b'mayi, all of these languages, hare elu kenuim leshvua. B'mayi, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Mefarshim explained, the Chedush HaRim explains that the Pasuk says that Bilam said, Thomas Nafshi Moshe Yisharim V'si Achrisi K'mayhu. Why did he say V'si Achrisi K'mayhu? He should have said V'si Achrisi K'mayhem. What Bilam was saying, V'si Achrisi, I want my end to be K'mayhu, like the end of the person who's called Mayhu, who was called Mayhu, Moshe Rabbeinu. I also saw our Gemara, our Mishnah, our Gemara is now teaching us the halacha of kinyan nedarim. So I saw a shaila that Rav Avadya Yosef and the Tzitz Eliezer discuss if the word be'emes can be considered a kinyan for shvua. The Yabia Omer quotes the Shas Tshuvas Yaskel Avdi that says be'emes is a loshen kinyan shvua, and the same does the Shas Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer quote the Shas Tshuvas Zera Emes. However, there are Paiskim that they also quote the Pnei Yeshua and the Pnei Yitzchak that hold that Be'emes is not considered a Lashon of a Kinyan Shvuah. Obviously, one should try to avoid saying Be'emet because, according to many Paiskim, it may be considered a Lashon of a Kinyan Shvuah. Itmar, Kinuyim. And our Gemara now reflects on the Machlokes that we've discussed previously. Regarding Kinuyim, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Loshen Umesein, what is a kinui? Kinui represents language, like foreign languages, and that's why kinui is an effective neder. Rabbi Shimon Lokshimer Loshen Shabadu Chachamuli is Nodabob. It's language that Chazal established to be used to make Nedarim. V'keno Omer, as the Pasuk says, V'chaydish Shabadu Melibai, the month that he made up with his imagination. Something that was concocted. Tosfos points out, this is a very interesting phenomenon we find in our Gemara, that our Gemara is quoting a pasuk to corroborate the opinion of an Amora. And in fact, in certain Gesos, because of that, this line is omitted. The Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Kinuyim represent Loshon Umis, the foreign languages. So, of course, a foreign language is an acceptable way of saying a neder. Why does our Mishnah have to teach it? So there are two truths basically given. The Ran says that these words aren't even really regular Hebrew words. The words that are not usually used. And still, the Mishnah is teaching us they are accepted as kinuyim. Another teretz given by the Rishonim is that we know when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to krishma, if one says tefillah or krishma and loshen kodesh, even if he doesn't understand what he's saying, he's mekayim the mitzvah. In other languages, only if he understands the language is he mekayim the mitzvah. And as we quoted at the beginning of the Masechta, and also only may be in countries where those languages are spoken. However, loshen kodesh is unique that wherever it's said, and even if the person saying it doesn't understand the language, it's considered that he was mekayim the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yochanan that these kinuyim that our Mishnah mentions are considered kinuyim of Lashon HaKodesh and therefore are effective wherever they're said and even if they're said by a person that doesn't understand the words. Ask the Gemara, according to Resh Lakish, that kinuyim of Lashon Shabbatim Lam Chacham Liyas Noidabah is the question of Tamamai Tekin Rabbanim Kinuyim. Why did Chazal institute a new wording? Says the Gemara, the loy lema carbon, because Chazal did not want us to use the word carbon. Ask the Gemara of a lema carbon, and what is if they use the word carbon? Answer the Gemara, the Dilma Amma carbon Hashem. Since the pasuk typically uses the words carbon Hashem, and like Rishonim points out, the pasuk also says Shvul Hashem, Chayim Hashem. He may use those words. So ask the Gemara of a lema carbon Hashem, and what is if he uses the words carbon Hashem? Answers the Gemara, Dilma Amma Hashem. Maybe he'll say Lashem, v'loy am a carbon, and he'll never say the word carbon. The kamakpik shem shemayin levatala, and he will have said the name Shem, the word Hashem, in vain. The Tanya, and we learned from Shimon Omer, menayin shloyoy ma'odam. How do we know that a person should not say Lashem oila, Lashem mincha, Lashem toida, Lashem shlomin? Rather, he should say the carbon and then Lashem. Tamalayim a carbon like Lashem. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, by right, the right way the pasuk should have said is Lashem carbon. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to write carbon Lashem is to teach us that we have to be very careful with the Shem Hashem, and therefore say first carbon, because we're concerned we can say Lashem, and then something may happen, he may die, or something we may regret, and we'll have said the name Hashem in vain. Somebody wants to bring a carbon. Omra Torah teaches us the Torah, say carbon Lashem. Certainly, Vatola, somebody of Chas V'Shalom mentions Hashem's name in vain, Alachs Kam V'Kama, he should not say Hashem's name. Has to be very careful with the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And this Gemara, that we have to be so careful with the name of Hashem, has a lot of relevance both in Halacha and in Drush. When it comes to Halacha, before the Pais can discuss, let's say one Davin's Nusach is found. And when he says Tachnu, we begin with Elokeinu, Elokei V'Seinu, Tavol Fenech Tefiloseinu, V'Altis Alma Techinoseinu. And he says Elokeinu Elokei V'Seinu, he begins saying those words right after Chazaras Hashatz, and then the Gabbai gives a clap. Today is not a day to say Tachnun, but he already said the words Elokeinu Elokei V'Seinu, which, as we just explained, we have to be so careful with Hashem's name. What should he do? So Rav Vosner in the Shas of Tshuva Shevet Alevi says that if it's a day where Tachnun is not being said because the Halacha says that Tachnun should not be said that day, so he should say Elokeinu Elokei V'Seinu, Tavol Fenech Tefiloseinu, nothing more. If it's a day that's only because it's a minig, in certain shuls, on the day of a yard sale of a tzaddik, Tachnun is not said, that is not enough of a reason, he says, to Moitzi Shem Shmael Vatola, and he should finish the paragraph and then stop. The Shaul's Chuvus Mishnah Halachas says what he should do is he should say, if he realizes he said Elkeinu Elokei V'Seinu, and then we're not saying Tachnun, he should say Elkeinu Elokei V'Seinu Zechreinu B'Zikaron Toiv Lefanecho, or some other tefillah to end the words of Elkeinu Elokei V'Seinu, they should have not have been said in vain. Another Shaul that's discussed is, we know by Mincha, when one begins saying Shemin Esrei, we say Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Goyel Elokeinu. By Shachris, we don't say those words. What would be the halacha if one got confused and he started saying Shemon Esrei by Shachris, and he started saying Kishem Hashem Ekra, and then he recognized that he wasn't supposed to say it? What should he do? Because as the Pais can point out, finishing Hava Goyel Elokeinu should not be done, because one is not supposed to be mafsik, one's not supposed to be interrupt between the bracha of Goyel Yisrael and the Shemon Esrei. So if you're not supposed to say the words, they're considered a hefsek. So some Paiskim suggest that he shouldn't say the words Hava Goyel Elokeinu, he should just be maharish, he should just think those words. Another approach that the Chasam Sofer gives is that even though typically one is supposed to say a whole pasuk, not stop in the middle of a pasuk, but if there's a reason to stop in the middle of a pasuk, one may, and that's why he says when we say Kiddush Friday night, we say the pasuk of Yom HaShishi, we don't say the whole pasuk, because that is the nusach of Kiddush. Here too, since there's a reason, because we're not allowed to be mafsik, being gula l'tefillah, one can stop, even though he's just stopping in the middle of the pasuk, saying Kishem Hashem Ekra. The halacha is that if one sleeps in a sukkah, or the halacha is one supposed to sleep in a sukkah, he still doesn't make a bracha leishiv a sukkah for sleeping in a sukkah, because the concern is that he may not fall asleep and it will be a bracha levatala. The Paiskim discuss, so how could the brachas hamapel be said every night? So the Paiskim answer, brachas hamapel, even maybe the person won't fall asleep. They explain, because when one says the bracha, he's saying a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created this creation of sleep. He's not speaking specifically that he's going to sleep. But now the Pais can discuss, we know that there's a machloikis, how to view Sfiras Omer. Is every day of the Sfiras Omer a separate mitzvah, or is it considered one long mitzvah? And l'chumra, we consider it one long mitzvah, and therefore the halacha is that if one missed an entire day of saying the Sfira, he can no longer count the Sfira with a bracha. So why should we not be concerned that something will happen that the person is not going to be able to count the Sfira all 49 days, and even at the beginning he should not be allowed to make the bracha, because it will turn out that he made a bracha of atola if we say it's one long mitzvah? So the Paiskim say that that's considered an oinus, And by oinus, it's not considered shem shemayim levatala. The Mefarshim go on to explain this concept. We know that when we greet someone, we say shalom aleichem. The person responds aleichem shalom. So the question is, how can we say shalom aleichem? Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're not supposed to mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So Yeshua Yankov and many other Mefarshim quoted in the Tamim and Hagim say that the Gemara says kol hamagdim shalom lechaveroi, whoever initiates a greeting to someone else, marichim lo yoma v'shnoisav, who will have a long life. So if I greet someone and I say to him shalom aleichem, so I'm going to have long life, I don't have to worry that I said the same Hashem first. But the person who's responding to me, he doesn't have that guarantee, because he wasn't magdim shalom. That's why he should say aleichem shalom. And this concept we find by Boaz. When Boaz was greeting the people who worked, his workers, he said Hashem imochem. The Farshim asked, how do you say Hashem's name first? So some of the Farshim say that Boaz knew he was going to live, he was a Navi, he knew he was going to live and have children, so he didn't have to worry about saying Hashem imochem. He knew he would be able to finish his statement. Another pshat is, he didn't want to say imochem Hashem, because that would be not treating Hashem's name properly, and that's why, in out of respect of Hashem's name, he said Hashem imochem. But not Teretz is, as we just said, since Boaz was greeting the people, and we just said that whoever greets someone else is zoicha to marichan lo yomav v'shnoisav, that's why Boaz could have said Hashem imochem. And the same question comes up, that we know by the Avodah Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol did the Goyrel, and the animal that was designated as a chatos, he said l'Hashem chatos. So again, the question is, how come he says l'Hashem chatos? Shouldn't he say chatos l'Hashem, as our Gemara just taught us? So the simplest Torah is that the Torah uses the words l'Hashem chatos. So the Torah is telling us that's what the Kohen Gadol should say. Another Torah is that this, since we're referring there to the tzibur, it's the carbon of all of Klal Yisrael. By an individual, we have to be concerned that if he starts with the word Lashem, he may not be able to complete a sentence. By a tzibur, we don't have that concern. Another teretz, along the lines of what we've been saying, that the Gemara says that a Kohen Gadol who acted properly on Yom Kippur was guaranteed to have a Arichas Yomim. So this Kohen Gadol who's doing the Avodah properly can't say Lashem Chatos, he'll have a Arichas Yomim. Another teretz given is that the halacha is that one doesn't really have to say the word chatos at all. As soon as one says the word l'Hashem, it's considered that that animal is the designated animal for the carbon chatos. When do we have a concern that he's going to say l'Hashem oyla, and he may not say the word oyla after the word Hashem, or he may not say shlom after the word Hashem? Here, however, it's effective, and therefore, just by saying l'Hashem, and there is no reason for concern. Now, the Mefarshim go on to explain that we find that Moshe Rabbeinu says, and we say this every day in the Shira, that Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Vo'ed. David HaMelech in Tehillim, however, says Yimloich Hashem Lo'olam Vo'ed. What's the difference? So explain the Mefarshim. Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a time when Klal Yisrael was still guaranteed that they would live forever, so they could say Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Vo'ed. They could use Hashem's name first. However, David HaMelech already lived later, when unfortunately there was death in the world, and there's a concern if someone can say Shem Hashem, he may not complete the sentence. That's why David HaMelech said Yimloich Hashem Lo'olam Vo'ed. And actually we find a similar concept in the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael V'yichu Li Truma. Li means V'yichu Hashem Truma. And that's in Parashas Truma. In Parashas for Yaakov, he says K'chu Mi'itchem Truma Hashem. He says the name of Hashem afterwards. What's the difference? When Moshe Rabbeinu was saying V'yichuli Truma, he was repeating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him on Har Sinai. We know at Har Sinai, Paskuzu Mason, there was no concern of death anymore, so they could say the word Hashem before the word Truma. But in Parashas Vayakel is already after the Aver of the Ego, and they were subject to death. That's why they said K'chumi Itchom, Kumi itchem truma l'Hashem. They have to be careful to say the name Hashem only at the end of the sentence, because we have to be concerned that they may not be able to complete the sentence if they say Hashem's name first. Says the Gemara, Lamech Tanoi. She would say the machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish in Kinuyim is machloikis Tanoi. For we find Veshamar Mekinuy Kinuyim Asurim, that even the Kinuy of Kinuyim are considered a neder. Or Beiselo Mekinuy Kinuyim Mitarim. My love, Manda Mekinuy Kinuyim Asurim, that even Kinuyim Kinuyim are also Kisavar Kinuyim Lashon Umasain. And as long as these words are used, it's considered a Kinuy. And that will be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Well, the man dam of mutarim, the man dam that holds the mutter, that the nana, the kasav Allah shabbat lachachamim, kinuim are language, a word that Chazal came up with, and kinuim they didn't come up with. And that will be the opinion of Rish Lakish. Ask the Mefarshim, if so, it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan is following the opinion of Beis Shammai. We know that everybody always follows the opinion of Beis Hillel, not of Beis Shammai. So they say that Rabbi Yochanan will have to hold, according to this Havamina, that the opinions of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai should be reversed. And actually, the Gemara points in that direction. Because the Gemara says, My love, man da omer. Why doesn't the Gemara says Beis Shammai holds kinu kinoyim? Is because he holds Lashon Umis. Because now the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds like this. The Gemara doesn't want to have Rabbi Yochanan holding like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Man da omer. Whoever holds that way, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it won't be Beis Shammai, it will be Beis Hillel that holding that way. Says the Gemara, Loi. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. The Kula Alma Kinuyim Lashon Umisain. A Kinuy is Lashon Umis. And in fact, that's why the Ran says that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that Kinuyim are Lashon Umis. Beis Shammai Sarm Behani Nami Mishtai Umis. The Umis speak with Kinuy Kinuyim also. Beis Hillel Sarm Behani Lami Mishtai Umis. They don't speak with Kinuy Kinuyim. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsi asks, can we have a machloikis if people do or don't use words? It's a metzias. Do they use these words or not? So he explains that everybody agrees that these words were used. But they were not used by most of the people. They were used by some of the people. And the machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is words that are only used by certain people, but not by the majority of people. Are they considered a language or not? Beis Shammai says they still have enough of a characteristic to be considered a language, and Beis Hillel says that if most people don't use those words, it's not considered a language. V'bay Seima, Beis Shammai says Gozi Kinuyim Kinuyim Mishim Kinuyim, that Chazal said that Kinuyim Kinuyim are really not valid language, but because when a valid foreign language is used, it should be considered a neder. Chazal made a gzeira that even kinuyim kinuyim should not be used. We don't make such a gzeira. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining is that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold the reason is because these are words that Chazal established to make nedarim with. And just like Chazal established that kinuyim should be used, according to Beis Shammai, we make a gzeira by kinuy kinuyim. But as the Karen Oyer explains, once we have this gezeira, kinuy kinuyim become full-fledged words of nether, and if one makes a nether with a kinuy kinuy, it's considered a full-fledged nether, even midaraisa. Beis Hillel said, kinuyim Chazal said are words to make a nether with, not with kinuy kinuyim. Ask the Gemara, hechi domi kinuy kinuyim dedor. What is such an example? Tanu Reb Yosef, mikanma, mikancha, mikasna. And the Mefarshim ask, Kinuy Kinuyim are only valid according to Beis Shammai. So why is the Gemara seeking to explain what Kinuy Kinuyim are? So I saw two answers. So one answer is that since the Gemara just mentioned the opinion of Beis Shammai, the Gemara, even though the Halacha doesn't follow that opinion, goes to try to explain it. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara is trying to explain what Kinuy Kinuyim are, so we should know what are kinuyim and what are kinuy kinuyim to know that we only will hold what kinuyim are in the dorm, not what kinuy kinuyim are. What are hechidami kinuy kinuyim the chayrim? Says the Gemara, Tanim Mefasha, the name of a person, charokim, charofim, charochim, charofim. Kinuy kinuyim the naziris, Tanim Rabbi Yosef, mechaskna, mezachna, mefichna. And as Mefarshim say, didn't we just say, Tani Rabbi Yosef, it must be that each one of these brises was learned separately and then the Gemara combined them in our Gemara. Ibaru mefachsna mai. If somebody used the word mefachsna, mischasna, misazna, are they considered kini for Naziris? Amalei Rav Ashi, kinma mai. If somebody said the word kinma, doesn't mean kainim, and it would be a kinui, or dilma kinman besenkomer, which is one of the types of fragrances. Amalei Rav Achav Reda Vechila Rav Ashi, kino mai. If somebody used the word kino, does it mean kino shatan agoylem? Does it refer to chicken coop? Or dilma loshen the kainim? Does it mean a kainim? Tibayi, like we know, tibayi msachn dar means teikel. Kino de shvuah, kino kinuim de shvuah hechidami, Shvuel, Shvusiel, Shukukuel. Ask the Gemara, Shvuel? How can we say Shvuel means a kinu kinuim? Maybe it means Shvuel ben Gersha Mashma, somebody who's mentioned in Divrei Yomim. Ella Shvuel, Shvusiel, Shukukuel. Amar Shmuel, Amar Ashvis, Ashivsa, if somebody used the word Ashivsa, lo yama klum. Ashkika, if somebody said the word Ashkika, lo yama klum. Karinishna, if somebody said the word Karisna, lo yama klum. We learned in the Mishnah, Nada b'mayi harei l'knoyim. If somebody made a nether with the word mayi, that's a kinui of a shvua. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, ha'omer b'mayi, if somebody just uses the word mayi, loy maklum, that is not even a kinui of a shvua. However, he says, b'mumsa da'omer mayi, with the shvua that Moshe Rabbeinu said, harei l'knoyim l'shvua, because as the Ran points out in the Mishnah, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu made a shvua, as the Pasuk says, v'yoyel Moshe. So a shvua that Moshe Rabbeinu said is a valid term for kinui of a shvua.